Psalm 72, beginning in verse 1, these are the words of God. Give the king thy judgments, O God, and thy righteousness unto the king's son. He shall judge thy people with righteousness, and thy poor with judgment. The mountains shall bring peace to the people, and the little hills by righteousness. He shall judge the poor of the people. He shall save the children of the needy, and shall break in pieces the oppressor. They shall fear thee as long as the sun and moon endure, throughout all generations. He shall come down like rain upon the mown grass, as showers that water the earth. In his days shall the righteous flourish, an abundance of peace so long as the moon endureth. He shall have dominion also from sea to sea, and from the rivers unto the ends of the earth. They that dwell in the wilderness shall bow before him, and his enemies shall lick the dust. The kings of Tarshish and of the isles shall bring presents, and the kings of Sheba and Seba shall offer gifts. Yea, all kings shall fall down before him. All nations shall serve him. For he shall deliver the needy when he crieth, the poor also, and him that hath no helper. He shall spare the poor and needy, and shall save the souls of the needy. He shall redeem their soul from deceit and violence, and precious shall be their blood in his sight. And he shall live, and him shall be given of the gold of Sheba. Prayer also shall be made for him continually, and daily shall he be praised. There shall be an handful of corn in the earth upon the top of the mountains. The fruit thereof shall shake like Lebanon, and they of the city shall flourish like grass of the earth. His name shall endure forever. His name shall be continued as long as the sun, and men shall be blessed in him. All nations shall call him blessed. Blessed be the Lord God, the God of Israel, who only doeth wondrous things. And blessed be his glorious name forever. And let the whole earth be filled with his glory. Amen and amen. The prayers of David, the son of Jesse, are ended. Those are God's words. We, in our day today, as much as we come this evening to celebrate the installation of a pastor, which is a wonderful blessing, we have to remember the times that we are in. And we, in these times, are a fearful people. We are all a people filled with fear. Fear of current circumstances, fear of a virus, fear of current happenings throughout the world, in our nation in particular. Fearful of losing our jobs. Some of you probably have lost your job at some point in this process of this year, and gone through trials, some of you, and tribulations, pains spiritual and pains physical. Fear of the unknown. What will happen in the future? You see, throughout our nation, the government, whether it's state or local or federal, taking steps to take control and rule over our lives, your lives, with more power and authority than has ever been known in this nation. And then allowing of riots and destruction of property all throughout our nation. And there's fear of an election. Fear of an election coming in a couple months. What might happen? Lots of fear in our families, in our occupations, in our towns, in our cities, in our nation. And this psalm is given by our Lord to vanquish all earthly and worldly fear that we may have. Beloved, this psalm is about Christ. Jesus Christ, who reigns on the throne forever and ever. He reigns today. He reigns right now. He's seated at the right hand of the Father on the throne, sovereignly reigning over all the church in which He's the head, and over all nations, and over all creation. Do you know that? And then do you believe that? Do you believe it in your heart? And that's what this is all about. And in our day, there is no more important truth to remember, to hold on to, and to live by. In every breath that you breathe, from every fiber of your being, you have to believe this truth that we find in this psalm, because it is the very core of any hope and comfort that you will ever have on this earth. The first thing we look at this evening, as we think of Christ, the God-man, who reigns over all rule and authority and dominion and kingdoms both in the heavens and on the earth and under the earth, the first thing that we see this evening is the grace of Christ's kingdom. The grace of Christ's kingdom. You see, in the kingdom of power, in the kingdom of power of which Christ has been given all authority by the Lord, in which in fulfillment of this psalm, He said in Matthew 28, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. He's been given all authority, all dominion, like verse 1, all judgments and righteousness. Verse 2, Christ shall judge the peoples with righteousness in and by the authority given to Him by the Lord. John 5, verse 30, we remember it says, I can of mine own self do nothing. As I hear, I judge, Jesus says. And my judgment is just because I seek not mine own will, but the will of the Father which hath sent me. And our Redeemer, our Lord, reigns over all. And in the kingdom of grace, beloved, in the kingdom of grace in which He rules over the church, Christ by the Spirit works in the hearts of sinners and brings them into a blessed submission to Himself through the gospel, in which you are all called to come unto Him for your salvation, to your righteousness, to trust in Him for your life and bow the knee in all things as to your King. He is your King and you are His subjects. You must bow the knee to the King and come unto Him. He who is the King of kings and Lord of lords for salvation. Not just for salvation, for your salvation. You have to come to Him and Him alone. For righteousness is found in Christ alone, who reigns over all. And so you're called tonight to turn from your sin. Turn from your sin unto the Lord and King of kings, Jesus Christ. The kingdom of grace, beloved, entails all of that work of the Spirit in your heart and in your life to bring you into submission to Christ and effectual calling and regeneration and faith and repentance and justification and adoption and sanctification unto glorification. And when a sinner is called by the grace of God to come unto Jesus and serve Him forever as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to Him, in righteousness, we remember that the King does rule. And He is the light, and in Him there is no darkness whatsoever. And here is Jesus before you, the King of righteousness, Melchizedek, the forever priest king. You look at verse 3. As the King of righteousness, to His people He bestows righteousness and peace and justification. It says, the mountains shall bring peace to the people, and the little hills by righteousness. Christ reigns as King over all. He makes the mountains and the little hills to be the soil that brings forth fruit, righteousness. Now justification, that's justification. And through His perfect life and final sacrifice on the cross, imputing, crediting to you, not because you deserved it, but because of Christ Himself, His grace to you, imputed to you who believe, He credits to you righteousness, His righteousness. That you're justified by faith in Christ. And Romans 5 then says what? Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through our King, through our King. Christ bestows righteousness upon His people. And the resulting blessing is peace. Peace in the heart. Peace in the mind. Peace in all of yourself. You want peace in these days, then look only to Jesus Christ. Don't look to the world. Don't look to the circumstances of what's happening in our nation and what's happening around you. Look to Jesus Christ. Look to Him. You see, such are the blessings, the graces of being part of the kingdom of grace, beloved. Under the mediatorial or priestly kingship of Jesus Christ. Don't you want peace? Don't you want peace? You want peace for our nation? You want peace in your own heart about what's happening? Or do you want to continue in fear? You want peace. Peace is only found in the King of Righteousness, who's also called the Prince of Peace. There are blessings in coming to Christ, but there are also blessings in continuing in Christ. Grace in continuing in Christ. Verse 6, he says, "He shall come down like rain upon the mown grass, as showers that water the earth. In his days shall the righteous flourish in abundance of peace, so long as the moon endureth." What a great promise. And when your grass is cut and the rains come, the grass grows, even in Texas. It thrives, right? And so the blessings of Christ come upon the peoples of God. The righteous in Christ are fruitful because they're in Christ. Not because of themselves, but because they're in union with Jesus Christ, the King of Kings. And so in Christ alone you grow and you flourish. And how much of this is due to Christ the King? It says He shall come down. Christ comes down through His Word and by His Spirit. He sanctifies you. He blesses you who love Him. The grace of Christ's kingdom. We could go way more into that. But in our day, we need to move slightly past that to look to the future. To find where our hope lies. Not only in Christ as we look to Him, but what Christ is going to do. And so secondly, the hope of Christ's kingdom. The hope of Christ's kingdom. In this point, I need to clarify that what is about to be said no way at all diminishes the fact that precautions ought to be taken. But we also need to remember the call of the gospel. And Rom, you need to remember the call of the gospel. And all the pastors here and the elders here need to remember the call of the gospel. And sometimes there can be too many precautions in which the church cannot be the church. And what we have in the remaining verses has been lost so much in the church is lost. And because we don't know these things or we have forgotten these things. And if you know this doctrine, and you most likely have often forgotten this doctrine. And when we forget or we don't know, we lose hope. And so here we have promise to us comfort and hope for our lives today. Verse 8, Christ shall have dominion also from sea to sea and from the river unto the ends of the earth. Christ, our mediatorial King, shall have dominion from sea to sea, from river the river to the ends of the earth. And how big is Christ's kingdom, beloved? How big is His kingdom? What area does Messiah the Prince, as Daniel calls Him, reign over? All of creation. Ephesians 1, verse 20. Which He wrought in Christ when He raised Him from the dead and set Him at His own right hand in the heavenly places, far above all principality and power and might and dominion, and every name that is named, not only in this world, but also in that which is to come, and hath put all things under His feet, and gave Him to be the head over all things to the church. Christ our Redeemer, the God-man, having risen from the dead, is on the throne. And His dominion is not merely over the things of the earth, but all things, it says, are put under His feet. All things. Think of something. It's under Christ's feet. Right? He has dominion, rule, and authority over all. All things are under His feet. There's one exception to that. That's 1 Corinthians 15, verse 27. It shows us one exception to that. God the Father. And so whoever is not God the Father and God the triune God, all of that is under the feet of Jesus Christ. He is in ruling over it. He's in power over it. He is in dominion. He has dominion over it. All means all. The governments of all nations and our nation, all the wicked, all demons, the devil himself is under Christ's dominion, so much so that nothing is not under Him that is of creation. All things are under His feet. And so that we can hold on to the promise, beloved, that all things will work for our good who love Him and are called according to His purpose in heaven and on earth. Romans 8, right? How can we have such a promise as this? It says, "For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus our Lord." How can you have that promise and know with all of your being that He will keep it? How do we know our God is faithful to that promise and nothing will separate us from His love? Not losing our job, not a plague or pestilence, whatever that might be or that we're dealing with now. Governments, not riots, not fear of the future. None of it will separate us from His love. How do we know that? Because Christ reigns over all. He has dominion over all. He's sovereignly ruling over all. And what are we then promised, beloved? Verse 9. They that dwell in the wilderness shall bow before Him, and His enemies shall lick the dust. The kings of Tarshish and of the isles shall bring presents. The kings of Sheba and Seba shall offer gifts. Yea, all kings shall fall down before Him. All nations shall serve Him. Jesus Christ. All nations, all kings, rulers, all in authority will serve Jesus Christ and bow before Him. We know that from Psalm 2. "Be wise now, therefore, O ye kings, be instructed, ye judges of the earth." There's the rulers, there's the kings, there's the president, there's the governors, there's the city councilmen and everybody that rules as a civil magistrate. "Serve the Lord with fear," He says, "and rejoice with trembling. Kiss the Son, Jesus, lest He be angry and ye perish in the way when His wrath is kindled but a little. Blessed are all they that put their trust in Him." And in the future, many are going to put their trust in Him because they're going to bow down to Him and serve Him. That's that word for worship. Worship and serve. Because Christ has been given all authority and dominion and rule over all. And that means He is mediatorial King over all. Not merely all people, but all nations must come and bow the knee and submit to Christ. And what we have promised in our psalm, this psalm, is that they will. They're commanded to do so by our Lord, and our call upon all nations and rulers and our governing leaders must be then what? What is our call to them, to the world, to our leaders? Kiss the Son, lest He be angry and you perish in the way. What happens when they don't kiss the Son? What happens when such kings and rulers don't submit to Christ? It says His wrath is kindled. He's angry because they're not bowing to the King. What king? Just think of any other king. What king would not be angry when his subjects don't bow to him? What's going to happen to them? His judgment will come. The Scriptures say hell comes for them. But what blessings are promised in Psalm 2? What blessings for kings and rulers to turn to Jesus Christ from their sins? What blessings come when they rule according to the Scriptures, God's law. Verse 9 and following, what are we promised? And all of you who have ears to hear, put that with what you see with your eyes. Because today the question is, will you have faith? Will you believe the promises? Will you put your hope in Christ the King? Or is your hope dashed to pieces when you believe what you see with your eyes? And you see the nations doing, and our nation doing whatever they're doing. There's riots and there's people attacking each other, even in the Church of Jesus Christ, which is a sad thing, because of a virus. And how Satan uses that virus, doesn't he, to cause us to divide ourselves with one another. I'm the pastor in Grandview, Missouri. And currently our congregation, we're going through Romans. We finished Romans 11 a while ago, where we have the promise of the fullness of the Gentiles coming in. And that from the Gentiles coming in, the Jews will be pricked in their heart, and they'll come in and they'll believe in Jesus. Many of them, multitudes. And from that, even more Gentiles will come into the kingdom, and they'll believe in Jesus Christ. The promise of our God is that such a great multitude of peoples will come to Christ, that all, right here in our passage, all nations will bow before Him. And this is why early on in Romans 1, Paul says, and he can say, and hopefully we can all say as we walk out of here today, I am not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to the Jew first, and also to the Greek. Are you ashamed of the gospel? And what you see in the world seems to be in line with the world getting worse and worse, right? And we've seen with our eyes exactly that this year, haven't we? It's getting worse and worse. But our God in Christ, who reigns over all, He promises us something, doesn't He? He promises something to us that will come that is completely other than the world getting worse and worse and worse. That pagan kings will come unto Christ and bring presents to Him, verse 10. That all kings shall fall down before Christ, the mediatorial King, and all nations shall worship Him. What a great promise. Right now, do you believe that? You don't believe that, do you? We're filled with the fear of man. We're filled with the fear of government. A great persecution perhaps upon the people of God is coming for us. And you need to wake up to that fact. But we fear that. We fear that. We know with all of our heart our nation is going to be judged. Why? Because our nation is wicked. And we keep turning from Christ. Our leaders turn from Christ. The church turns from Christ. Of course our nation is going to be judged unless we turn back to Him. And what we see even in the church are fears of man and fears of viruses. But the church has one duty, one task. To make Christ known to the ends of the earth for the glory of God. Through the preaching of the gospel. And preachers today are fearing a virus. Elders are fearing government. But God's people, your hope lies not in what you see, but in the promises of our God in Jesus Christ. Even more in these days should the gospel be proclaimed, because there's people who are lonely. There's people who have not been in worship for a very long time. There are people who no longer even listen to God's Word, who were in the church. But now they have, in a sense, been kicked out in a weird type of way that we probably never would have thought of happening. People are unsure and anxious, and in such times, even during plague or whatever this is, In such times, preachers, pastors especially, must preach the gospel. Because preaching is not done online. It's done to hearers in the presence of each other. There are people who are dying, right? It seems perhaps like there are people dying all over the place. You might know someone in your own family, maybe a friend who's died because of this virus. Well, I know we have in our denomination, we've seen a few people who have died because of the coronavirus. And you have to ask, and pastors asking you, you have to ask in such trying times of what many consider great sickness and some might say death, what will conquer the natural man in which a lot of people are scared and a lot of people some people are dying? What is going to conquer the natural man, the fleshly man, the sinful man and woman and child? It is alone Jesus Christ. It is alone Jesus Christ. It's the weakness and foolishness of preaching of the gospel in the power of the Holy Spirit that will conquer the natural man. Because there, in the preaching of God's Word, we hear Jesus. And we experience Him as He speaks to us through a weak, stupid, fleshly vessel that He's raised up. And that means still today and at all times, the church's primary duty on earth is to preach the gospel. And if nobody shows up, preach the gospel. And if two people show up, preach the gospel. The church's primary duty is to do that unto salvation, unto sanctification, and unto the glory of God in Christ. And one of the last things the Lord said through Paul, 2 Timothy chapter 4, preach the word. Be instant in season, out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all long suffering and doctrine. Your main calling, pastor and pastors and elders, is to preach the word and to see that preaching of the word happens in the presence of hearers, because the peoples have lost their hope. Because they sit on their computers all day and look up things about coronavirus. And they're so filled with that that now they have a new god. It's called an idol. It's called a virus. And they need to be turned back to Jesus Christ. The peoples are alone and anxious and fearing. And they need to again be pointed to Christ, of whom even all nations will serve Him. All nations, all rulers will be made, beloved, to come and kiss the Son. Micah chapter 4, verse 1. And notice how similar it is to our passage when it speaks about the mountains. But in the last days it shall come to pass that the mountain of the house of the Lord shall be established in the top of the mountains. And it shall be exalted above the hills, and people shall flow in unto it. And many nations shall come and say, come. The nations say that. Nations shall say, come and let us go up to the mountain of the Lord and to the house of God, the God of Jacob, and He will teach us of His ways, and we will walk in His paths. For the law shall go forth of Zion, and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem, and He shall judge among the many people and rebuke strong nations afar off, and they shall beat their swords into plowshares and their spears into pruning hooks. Nations shall not lift up a sword against nation, neither shall they learn war anymore, but they shall sit every man under his vine and under his fig tree, and none shall make them afraid. For the mouth of the Lord of hosts has spoken. Thus saith the Lord. Do you believe Him? Is He not faithful? All nations shall serve Christ. And through it the fullness of the Gentiles will come in, and so too all the Jews. And they will come to worship Him, and the gospel will be proclaimed, and many will believe it. The great duty of that of the church and your pastor, Dallas RP Church, is to see that the gospel of Jesus Christ and His dominion and authority over all is proclaimed, calling all sinners and all rulers and all kings and all peoples to submit themselves to Him. You see, the beloved, the truth of the gospel and salvation, it will advance in these days and in the days to come. And here we are in the year of 2020, in the end of July, a year of what some maybe call a plague, a judgment surely upon our nation. And our hopes have been dashed, and we see less and less of the kingdom advancing, perhaps. And so many people leaving the church, turning to idolatry, as we've talked about, and other pleasures of the world. And churches all throughout our nation have closed their doors and taken away the only message of hope and promise in Christ alone. And what does that sound like? That sounds like judgment. And that's scary to me. But it should not be scary. It should not be fearing, a fearful thing, because Christ sits on the throne. And He's advancing and will advance to the ends of the earth, His kingdom, so that all nations will serve Him. A time will come when this will happen. Verse 11 will come about, and we all know it hasn't yet. All nations surely do not serve Him. Do not worship Him. Kings don't bring presents to Him. But if this is the Lord's promise, then this is what ought to fill our hopes and prayers, He says in verse 16. Our prayers should reflect faith in the promises. And so to our lives. Therefore, beloved, cease from your fear of what you see, and fear the Lord in Christ, who's been given all power and dominion and authority, who sits enthroned as the sovereign King, because there is coming a time when all will bow down to Him and all will worship Him. Whom shall you fear? Whom shall you bow before? The media? The internet? The governor, the county president, Congress, crazy socialists. Who will you bow before? What will you believe and give your life for? And pastors especially, who will you give your life for? And what will you do to in your life, in your duty to preach the gospel? What will you risk to preach God's word as He's called you? Will it be the world that you bow down before? Will it be your flesh that you bow down before? Will it be the devil that you bow down before? Will you give over to the temptations to cower and be filled with anxiety in the present circumstances? Will you merely believe what you see? And of course, we know in Hebrews it says, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. And so you're called to come out from your hiding, if you're hiding. If you're hiding on the internet and listening to this, come out from your hiding. From trusting merely in what you see and believe in the power and the glory of Jesus Christ, who reigns over all. And we praise the name of Jesus Christ. We ought to do it together. He calls you to believe what He says. Our King has promised in all He has promised will come to pass. Do you believe Him? Do you believe His word? The God of all truth, the Savior who died for you, gave all for you. Because verse 17, it says, His name shall endure forever. His name shall be continued as long as the sun. And men shall be blessed in Him. All nations shall call Him blessed. If you are to have any hope, it is alone the hope found in Christ's kingdom and Christ's rule and reign over all. And if the promises here are true, and they are, for all the promises of God in Him are yea, and in Him amen, unto the glory of God by us. His promises are true, and He is faithful, therefore our lives now are to be lived for the glory of God in Christ. The last point, very shortly, because I don't need to add to God's word. The glory of Christ's kingdom. The glory of Christ's kingdom. Verse 18, blessed be the Lord God, the God of Israel, who only doeth wondrous things. And blessed be His glorious name forever, and let the whole earth be filled with His glory. Amen and amen. our minds and our hearts and our wills and our affections and our thoughts and our wills, our words, everything, beloved. Submit everything to Christ's rule. For Christ's crown and covenant. All allegiance should be given to Christ alone, whose kingdom will never end from sea to sea. Wherefore God also hath highly exalted Him and given Him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of things in heaven, of things in earth, and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. To all generations, both now and forever, bow! You bow before this King. And He is exalted over all, so serve Him. Worship Him. And He promises, as our King, to supply us with every grace necessary. Grace of provision. Grace of protection. Grace of sanctification. Grace of preservation unto glory. And so you are called to come and give him all the praise. As Jude says, the benediction. Now to Him who is able to keep you from stumbling and to make you stand in the presence of His glory, blameless with great joy. It's only He that can do that. To the only God, our Savior, through Jesus Christ our Lord, be glory, majesty, dominion, and authority before all time and now and forever. Amen. Let's pray. Our gracious Father, we ask that You would bless us and give us faith in the promises. Give us hope. And if there are any here this evening who do not know You, that You would turn them unto Yourself and cause them by Your Spirit to change their wills, that they would bow the knee to the King, Jesus Christ. And we pray even now, as You have raised up a pastor, another pastor for this congregation, that they, both Mark and Rom, would shepherd with the elders. Shepherd the flock of God that You have given under the headship of Jesus Christ, who is the King in the head, and who will bring about all nations, Gentiles and Jews, the faith in Him. And they will worship Him. And we pray that in faith and hope, with great comfort, because You promised You will do so. And so we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. And God's people, we're going to sing Psalm 72. See now, just to glorify the Lord, as we just heard in this psalm. Let's stand and we'll sing 72C.